Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
As we embark on a year of nationwide celebration in honor of America's 250th anniversary, I've been reflecting on our nation's founding and the tremendous blessing, honor, and responsibility that comes with service in the Florida Senate. The early writings of our nation's founders highlight the importance of the Senate. In fact, the authors of the Federalist 63 wrote, "History informs us of no long-lived republic which had not a Senate." They refer to the Senate as the anchor against popular fluctuations, a blend of stability and liberty.
This is Senate President Ben Albritton, talking yesterday during the opening day of the Florida legislative session. And this was a really interesting speech to me. Interesting because he does exactly what the reason I'm playing the clips. I pulled one clip from Danny Perez. It's not that it was bad. It just wasn't all that useful to me for anything. But Albritton, I got like 13 or 14 clips from it because it's really, really interesting. Almost as many as I have from DeSantis' speech. But that opening comment about the value of the Senate, the value of a bicameral legislature, that means two chambers, right? You know, the House and the Senate, modeled after the federal. The way we have Congress, so you have a House and a Senate. And the idea that the Senate has been the key historically, as the Federalist Papers and the founders understood, is that, you know, republics fail, but especially they fail without a Senate. You say, why? Doesn't the Senate, you know, screw everything up? Like, you know, we want to do this change and then the Senate doesn't take up the bill. We want to do this change and the Senate doesn't do anything. We want to do this thing and the Senate's just like the Senate is what keeps us stuck in the mud. Good. One of the things that you, I mean, I've said it so many times, but I feel like you have to keep saying this kind of stuff. People complain about American government being slow, inefficient, and unproductive. You know, they hate the gridlock. Gridlock was the goal. The goal of our structure of government at the federal and the state level is to be useless, slow, frustrating, ineffective. Checks and balances is not a recipe for speed. Just think about how hard it is, for example, to pass a constitutional amendment in the state of Florida. 60%, right? Doesn't happen very often. Why? Because it's hard for anybody to really get a big supermajority. Okay, so political parties, which shift their positions a lot over time, okay? But the point of that is that you don't get too much, although it's very lopsided in Florida right now with Republicans, you usually don't get these big, easy ability to pass your agenda stuff because there's two parts. And then it doesn't have to pass just one side, but it has to pass both chambers and then get signed by the governor and then get upheld if there's a challenge against it in court. Man, that process sucks. Yes, it's supposed to suck. It's supposed to be bad. It's designed to be slow, inefficient, and frustrating. Because the best way to get terrible outcomes is to go quickly. And I know, at least I think, I do not think that Senator Albritton, President Albritton, meant this at all as a criticism of President Trump, because he said a couple times later on how important Trump has been. But if you listen to what he's saying about how our system of government is supposed to work, and you listen with the ears of how does this relate to our federal politics right now, it's a stunning critique of President Trump. Because President Trump does not want slow government. He does not want an efficient government. He does not want unproductive government. He wants fast, do it my way, or we're going to get rid of you, we're going to punish you, we're going to get you out of the way. He doesn't grasp or appreciate or value the concept of slow, ineffective, frustrating government. I understand why he doesn't, because most people don't. No, most people want faster government. They want to solve the problems. They want to, you know, solve Venezuela and solve the Panama Canal and solve Greenland and solve trade and solve, you know, they want to do things. You elected me president to do things. Well, yeah, but we elected you president within a system that makes it really hard to do things. On purpose, why? Because fast government is usually tyrannical government, historically. Slow government, at least it has a chance. It has a chance of not being that. So we'll go back to All Britain's speech and then think about this in the context of the history of the country, where we are currently, and why it's important to have a slow, annoying, frustrating Senate. Even at the federal level, the Senate, always screwing things up by doing nothing. Yes, intentionally, that was the goal.
In referring to the Senate, Federalist 62 states that no government can be respected without order. In fact, the authors make the case for establishing a Senate to counter the sudden impulses and violent passions of single assemblies. Balance.
Right. Single assemblies are more prone to pass laws, make changes. You get a majority, you do it. Two assemblies, a House and a Senate, all of a sudden everything's so slow. And then they pass slightly different versions, and they have to reconcile those versions, and they can't reconcile those versions, and then people go home. And it's on purpose. And I'm telling you this because understanding our system of government and why it has worked for so long is essential. Every generation remind people how it works so they don't screw up how it works and make it not work right. We'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Just got a tip. We've got a stalled vehicle on Davis as you try to get onto I-10 on the inside lane. So definitely be aware of that. But other than that, things are looking great. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. Somebody says, Andrew, thank you for reminding us about the check and balances and how government is not meant to move fast. Absolutely. Once you realize it, once you kind of internalize the concept, you'll remember it. You still have to fight your own impulse because everybody wants government to do the things that it wants it to do, that they want it to do. But you also have to want government to fail a lot. And by fail, I mean not do bad things. I mean fail to do anything. You know, when we have Alex Andrade on, when he talks about the legislature, he often mentions how there's hundreds, perhaps even thousands. I forget how many bills get filed each session, and very few of them ever even come to a floor vote. The ones that come to a floor vote do often pass because by the time they've gotten that to that point, they're meant to. But they either don't even get taken up by committee or they fail in committee or whatever. That's a weeding out process. Right. The vast majority of legislation should fail. And then, you know, even at that point, the majority of legislation that the House passes does not pass the Senate. Cool. Good. You know, and at least to some degree, even the stuff that the House and the Senate passes, the governor vetoes or the president vetoes. And again, not to belabor, but I don't think you can belabor this point enough. This is like everybody should be taught this once a week until we get it, because we do not get this. Even once the president or the governor signs it, and then the courts say, no, you shouldn't have done that, couldn't have done that, that's unconstitutional. Yes, that's how it's supposed to not work. It is supposed to not work in exactly that way.
And of course, we all know the famous legend. Thomas Jefferson coming home from France called George Washington to account at the breakfast table for having agreed to a second, and as Jefferson thought, unnecessary legislative chamber. Why? Asked Washington. Did you just now pour your coffee into your saucer before drinking? To cool it, answered Jefferson. My throat is not made of brass. Even so, rejoined Washington, we pour our legislation into the senatorial saucer to cool it.
The passions of the large House with all of its people and their lesser experience and their two-year terms, and the fact that it's large means they don't have as much of a collegial relationship with one another. The Senate, whoa now, son. That's the goal. Only 40 instead of 120. Longer terms, more chance to build relationships. Not quite as responsive to the vagaries and whims and fluctuations of day-to-day politics out there in the bustle and hustle of social media world. That's the goal.
These writings and anecdotes are a reminder that our duty as senators is much bigger than each of us as individuals. It's bigger than personalities. It's bigger than any one issue or any one session. It's an enduring commitment to the people of this state, a commitment we share with those who've come before us, those who follow. As we reflect on the historical role of the Senate in maintaining stability, let me reiterate two wise quotes I believe should govern our thoughts and our actions, and none of this will surprise any of you. Never take down a fence until you know I was put up. Measure three times, cut once.
That never take down a fence until you know why it was put up is possibly the best single sentence summary of conservatism in politics that I've ever heard. And I mean, it's not original, I don't think, with him, but it, you know, that's exactly it. Just because you don't understand why a thing is there doesn't mean the thing isn't serving a function. Trust the inheritance from past legislators. Trust the legislatures. Trust the inheritance from all of the people in the past who voted and created policies that we are now living under. You know, the liberal idea is, hey, if you don't understand something, change it. Progress, right? Progressivism is changeism. There's a fetish for change. Get rid of the thing that's old, that's outdated, that we don't understand, that we don't like anymore. Well, it's fine to not like it, but do you even know why it's there? And a lot of times the problem is once you get used to a thing being there for a long time, even the advocates don't know why it's there anymore. You know, the people who want to keep it don't even know why. And we should always be thinking about that. Like, why do we have this? Because otherwise what happens is the reformers, the radicals, the changists come in and they can come up with all kinds of good reasons why to change it. And the people who have gotten used to a thing forget knowing why it should be there in the first place. And it just goes away because they haven't kept their sword sharp to defend the thing that's been working for such a long time. That does not mean that the thing that's there, the tradition, is always right. You know, there's slavery, you know, like there's depriving women of the right to vote. I mean, there's things that have been there a long time that are not good things to have. But you should understand them fully before, and especially if it's worked for a long time. You know, I don't really know why we do it, but hey, man, it works okay, you know, as opposed to the modern view, which is, oh, if it's not broken, break it. Well, you know, sir, no, I don't think that's a great path forward for, you know, countries that have been the longest lasting republic in history.
We all have something to reflect on here, whether it's in government or in life. Know what you're doing and know why. It takes real work to understand the why. That matters most.
Yeah.
The Senate should measure and ask questions. It might take more time. In fact, it may take a lot more time. But that's the design of our form of government and the role of our Senate. Floridians expect checks and balances, not rash or impulsive decision-making.
Brakes. The Senate's the brakes. And the Senate is, like, most of the time stomping on the brake consistently. And that's exactly what you want. We've talked about this before, but think just from an economic perspective. If people want to invest, they want to invest when there's wild fluctuations and instability, or when there's stability and predictability and the rules don't change a lot over several years. Which one? Which game do you want to play? You want to play the game where the rules change every hand, or do you want to play the game where you understand that the rules are what the rules are and they're not really going to change very much? Well, that's it. Instability is its own problem. Quick government is its own problem. Even if the changes make sense, the fact that you're making a lot of changes is a problem. Which, again, I don't think that Ben Albritton meant it this way, but this is a fantastic summary of the danger right now in our federal system with how Trump approaches government. Regardless of whether any individual thing he wants to do is a good thing, the overall environment of having change all the time, everywhere, in every way, that we can't even cover it enough on the news, that's a problem. Well, Andrew, that's why we elected him. Okay. Okay. But there are costs to doing it that way. 624 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, you want somebody who's going to represent you well, get you sold, obviously, or get you the purchase at the right price, but, you know, get you to the end. There's no point in having a realtor for 10 months and not selling a house. That's just frustrating, disappointing. and the emotions you go through every day, not knowing what's coming. Well, okay, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty sold 209 homes last year. That's up 30% from the previous year. They are selling more homes in a harder environment. Why? Because they know how to do it. Because they have skills at you know, how to stage it, how to photograph it, how to list it, how to do an open house, what price to do it at. She was actually telling me the other day that, you know, there's one house that she got told it could not be sold at, you know, $499 was the highest you could get for it. Their prior agent had failed to sell it. They came to her. She's like, I think we can get $625, 10 days cash done. For a higher price. You say, how is that? I don't know if that's, I mean, it's probably not that common. But why? Because she knew the market and she thought that actually the people who would buy that home aren't even looking at it because it's priced too low. And so she got it sold. My point is, give her a call. If you're thinking about selling or buying a house, give her a call. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenrinke Realty. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents or delays to let you know about. Looks like I-10, I-110, 90, 98 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Princeton Grove, a new affordable housing community in Crestview, is now taking applications for one- and two-bedroom apartments. Princeton Grove features a resort-style swimming pool, pickleball court, dog park, state-of-the-art fitness center, Energy Star-rated appliances, granite countertops, and, for a limited time, Princeton Grove is offering one-bedroom apartments for $799 and two bedrooms at $1099 without any application fees. Princeton Grove Apartments in Crestview. Location, community, quality living. All starts at Princeton Grove.
Calling all nonprofits. If you serve Escambia or Santa Rosa County and could benefit from a grant of $100,000, Impact 100 invites you to a Link and Learn workshop on January 27th. I'm Martha Holden, president of Impact 100 Pensacola, and we've awarded over $18 million to organizations right here. To register for this free workshop and learn more about grants, check us out on Facebook or visit Impact100Pensacola.org. That's Impact100Pensacola.org.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out tomorrow morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this tomorrow morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Hugh Hewitt Show, weekdays 2 till 4, right after Markley Van Camp and Robbins on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
So, Ahab, kipe on my doobage?
Good morning. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. The Justice Department claims that there is no basis for an investigation into the fatal shooting of Renee Good by an ICE agent in Minneapolis. Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche made that announcement on Tuesday. Instead, the department is looking to investigate Good's widow. A move that's led to the resignation of six federal prosecutors.
Yeah.
President Trump says cities that provide sanctuary to illegal immigrants will lose federal funding starting on February 1st. The president said that starting in February, his administration will not be making payments to sanctuary cities, saying that they protect criminals at the expense of American citizens. And Netflix is preparing a revised all-cash offer for Warner Brothers Discovery's streaming and studio business. They'd already offered an $83 billion deal in cash and stock. Paramount Skydance has attempted a hostile takeover, though, of Warner Brothers Discovery's entire business.
I think they should make an offer not in, like, financial terms, but in terms of material that we would understand. Like, I'll give you two aircraft carriers, a federal building, and a 5-gigawatt nuclear power plant. No, we need two power plants. You know, like that should be the negotiation, just so we can quantify it. But like, that's the level of value we're talking. By the way, did you see this whole story? I don't know, David. Thanks so much for the update. You see this whole story about the cost to renovate the Fed building, and it was supposed to be, was it? I'm going to memory here. $1.9 billion, and that price has gone up to $2.5 billion. And that's one of the things that they're saying they're going to investigate Jerome Powell over or whatever. And that's why Trump is coming in. Although this is largely because Trump just hates Jerome Powell and he's using this as a reason, but. What building takes $2.5 billion to renovate?
I don't know.
You know, a wrecking ball and a construction crew, I think, is called for at some point, right?
Exactly.
Anyway, but, you know, then again, I've never built a federal building, so what do I know?
Stick in your lane, Andrew.
Okay, fine. Whatever. I will just stay right here. Oh, Dilbert cartoonist Scott Adams has passed away. We're going to talk about that a little bit coming up.
Gianna Gelosi. President Trump reportedly weighing military action in Iran, sending a message to anti-regime protesters that help is on the way during a speech in Detroit.
To all Iranian patriots, keep protesting, take over your institutions if possible, and save the name of the killers and the abusers that are abusing you. You're being very badly abused.
The death toll is reportedly more than 2,500. Vice President J.D. Vance meeting with Danish and Greenlandic officials in Washington as President Donald Trump insists on controlling Greenland. Fox's Jessica Rosenthal.
President Trump recently reiterated his interest in acquiring or purchasing Greenland, saying NATO should want the U.S. to have more control in the interest of European and American security. He said on Air Force One this past Sunday.
You know what their defense is? Two dog sleds.
America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. We've got a nicer morning than we've had here in the last few days. 47 degrees right now, cloudy skies. We do have some showers reported across the area, though. We'll get to our full forecast with Brooke Richardson. That's up in just a few minutes. A cantonment man facing charges after leading deputies on a high-speed chase back on New Year's Eve. 28-year-old Ladarian Grandison was arrested on a warrant for fleeing law enforcement, reckless driving, and driving with a suspended license. Deputies say they'd tried to pull him over on Highway 29 and Pinestead Road for not having a tag light. Grandison reportedly sped through a church parking lot, turned off his headlights, ran a red light, and deputies identified him through motel surveillance footage. He's arrested and since been released on $21,000 bond. Santa Rosa County deputies searching for a burglary suspect. The sheriff's office says that incident happened at Duncan Plaza on Highway 87. Not a lot of details have been released on that. Pensacola could pick its new police chief today. Three finalists meeting with residents yesterday at a public candidates forum. The finalists include former Tampa Police Chief Brian Dugan.
This is such an important position. You know, the job of a police officer is so important, and it's a tremendous responsibility. And to be the chief of police is an even greater responsibility.
PPD Deputy Chief Eric Goss.
I'm just so honored to be that my local department has backed me. So many of you in the community that backed me. It is overwhelming and it's humbling, and I appreciate it. I'm looking forward to continue to grow this as the best police department that ever.
And Grand Rapids, Michigan Police Chief Eric Winstrom.
It's easy to find people like me from Buffalo, from Chicago, from the Northeast, live in Pensacola. It's harder to find people from Pensacola that move to those places because this is a very special city.
City officials will be asking those three finalists questions today. That interview process will be live streamed on the city website. If there is a candidate that stands out, they could potentially be offered the job, but no timeline for a decision has been announced. Now, the number of abortions in Florida dropped last year. State data showing 44,000 abortions were reported for 2025, down 65,000 from the year before. The first full year under a law that bans most abortions after 6 weeks of pregnancy. The law took effect in May of 2024. Nearly all of last year's abortions were performed in the first trimester. 634, News Radio 92.3. You might notice something a little bit different on Escambia County deputies this year. They've got new commemorative badges honoring America's 250th anniversary. Sheriff Chip Simmons says the Sheriff's Foundation made those available to deputies.
I just do need to make sure that people understand the foundation purchased them. Escambia County Sheriff Foundation right. purchased them, and then they are offering them to the deputies. They already ordered them, actually. At cost. So no one's making money off right. of this.
And those badges feature the original and current American flags, along with the Minuteman design. If you want to check the badge out, take a peek at the News Radio Facebook page. We've got a picture of them up there. 635 at News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has a look at our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Still rolling accident free right now, even delay free. I-10, I-110, 90-29. 98. All look good. I'm not seeing any delays so far this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing some light showers through those early morning hours. Then temperatures will be warming up near 60 degrees, mostly cloudy skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 38 degrees. For Thursday, staying chilly and breezy, sunny skies, high near 49. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 30 degrees. Keeping some sunshine around on Friday with a high near 56. And Friday night, temperatures dropping near 41. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
And right now it is 47 degrees. We've got cloudy skies here in Pensacola. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text MEETER to 321-321 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text MEETER to 321-321. That's M-E-T-E-R to 321-321.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Welcome back to Winter Hack Radio, the place for clever hacks to survive the season. Icy driveway? Well, try spreading sand or birdseed to help with traction. Snowy puppy paws? Well, grab a whisk, brush it off, done. Catch COVID-19? Well, just get...
Actually, there's no hack for COVID-19. But if you test positive, prescription medications for COVID exist. Ask your doctor if they're right for you. Visit PfizerForAll.com to learn more. Sponsored by Pfizer.
Are you ready for a triple dose of wit, insight, and laughter? Tune in to News Radio Pensacola for the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show from 11 to 2. Your daily dose of engaging conversation and hilarious banter. Join Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins as they tackle the biggest news stories, pop culture moments, and everything in between. They'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud from start to finish. Don't miss a minute of the fun. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robin Show, 11 till 2 on News Radio Pensacola.
Morning, 638 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. A very interesting story, especially for those of us who were big fans of the comic strip. But the Dilbert creator, Scott Adams, has passed away. We found out a couple years ago that he had some very aggressive cancer. And, relatively sudden. Of course, he had gone through a long history because, you know, Dilbert was kind of invented. He wasn't a cartoonist to begin with.
Right.
He just kind of started drawing funny things because things
and
at
putting
his workplace.
Them on his cubicle.
You're right. It was just hilarious, but things at his workplace didn't make sense to him, so he made these jokes, and people were like, oh, yeah, you know, that's funny, that's funny. And eventually he's like, well, I can make a comic strip, and he did.
Mm-hmm.
And at one time, I think he was in 2,000 different newspapers worldwide, 70 countries, 25 languages. I mean, so this was widely read by everybody. I do wonder these days, you know, with the decline of in-print newspapers, how common it is for people to even read comic strips anymore. I can't remember the last time I read a comics page.
Really?
Or a comic strip of any kind at all. So I just wonder if people are reading them or not. But, I don't know. I think it's sad because I think comics are kind of a key part of the newspaper, a key part of the American cultural landscape politically. Whether you love him or hate him, I thought Andy Marlette was an important contributor to the Pensacola News Journal and his dad before him. Mm-hmm. And, a lot of the political cartoons that were out, and not that Dilbert was political, but actually that was one of the issues is Scott Adams eventually became political and some would say, racist or said things that were, unacceptably racist. Got his, a lot of his stuff got canceled because of that. In fact, the Sun Chronicle in Attleboro, Massachusetts, actually, when they canceled the Dilbert cartoon, they left the space there white blank. What they said, quote, as a reminder of the racism that pervades our society, like as a symbol for a while to show. And I did think this was a little bit hilarious. Bill Holbrook, the creator of the strip On the Fast Track, he tells the AP at the time, he's not being canceled, he's experiencing the consequences of expressing his views. Well, that's being canceled.
Definition.
I'm always amazed by people who don't want to embrace the thing that they're doing. Like, he got canceled. Whether you agree with it or not, at least that's the word, that's the term, that's exactly what happened. So, the reason I want to talk about this a little bit, not because of his decline or the comic strips or his personal political views or, whether he was or wasn't a racist, that's not really what's interesting to me. What I think is interesting is a story that I read actually just on Friday that came out in the National Catholic Register. And the headline was, so this is, 4 days before he passed away. The headline, Dilbert cartoonist Scott Adams takes Pascal's wager. There's another part to this, but I'll explain. Do you know what Pascal's wager is, John? You familiar with this? Okay, so Blaise Pascal is the French philosopher who came up with, this is the thing he's most famous for, Pascal's wager, which is essentially a betting grid. Do you bet there's a God and therefore eternal consequences, or do you bet there's not a God and therefore eternal consequences, or not eternal consequences? And the way Pascal presented it, or the way people understand this is, if you act like there's no God, it gets you a temporary improvement in the fun of this life. Because you can do things that people who believe in God don't do. Right? That's the idea. So you get good stuff now, and there's no consequence later. So you're plus a little and out nothing. If you bet that there is a God, and there turns out not to be, well, you're out the fun and no reward. So you're down, and there's also no benefit later. But if you bet there is a God, and it turns out there is, you're out a little bit of fun, but huge rewards later. Cost you $10, but you win $1 million, if you want to think of it that way. But if you bet there's no God and you're wrong, you gain 10. Oh, it's bad for a long time.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, yes.
And the argument there, or the math there, the idea is that the consequences of being right or wrong about eternity are so massive that from a gambler's perspective, or from a wagerer's perspective, it makes sense to bet God's real and act accordingly. Because if he is, you get a massive benefit. And if he's not, it only costs you a little. And if you bet the other way and you act badly, it's a massive cost. And it only benefited you a little. That's kind of the idea. So the headline was, Dilbert cartoonist Scott Adams takes Pascal's wager, vows to become a Christian. And then it says, he says in a podcast, you're going to hear for the first time today that it's my plan to convert, facing terminal prostate cancer. This was on January 4th on the daily live. Oh, on his daily live stream. Sorry, Real Coffee. So I still have time, but my understanding is you're never too late. That's true. I mean, you can literally be in the midst of being crucified and convert to Christianity as the thief on the cross. And on top of that, any skepticism I have about reality would certainly be instantly answered if I wake up in heaven. I usually just let that sit. His friends trying to convert him, all his Christian friends trying to convert him. He says, I usually just let that sit because that's not an argument I want to have. I have not been a believer, but I've also have respect for any Christian who goes out of their way to try to convert me. After all, how would I believe you believe your own religion if you're not trying to convert me? Right? It's kind of a byproduct of what you believe. So I have great respect for people who care enough that they want to convert and then go out of their way to try to convince me, which, you know, a lot of atheists feel like that's an insult. Well, I mean, no, it's a kind of a compliment. They care about you, right? We care about you. See, he says, you don't need to talk me into it. I'm now convinced that the risk reward is completely smart. If it turns out that there's nothing there, I've lost nothing, especially at the end of your life when you, I mean, I don't think he knew that he only had, you know, 10 days to live, but, you know, short. Anyway, he knew that. Because I've respected your wishes and I like doing that, if it turns out there's something there and the Christian model is the closest to it, I win. So with your permission, I promise you that I will convert, but I probably won't spend that much time in that phase, so don't expect it to happen today, okay? But argument made, argument accepted. And apparently his wife has said that she believes, you know, he did convert or whatever, that he followed through on this. So here's my thought. It kind of comes in two phases. The first phase is, even as a Christian, but also as a philosopher and a guy who taught ethics and logic, I think Pascal's wager is not a sound argument. I'm also not convinced that Scott Adams became a Christian. I'll tell you why in just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the five. John?
I was waiting for the answers. Okay. All right. No accidents to report to you right now. Starting to see a little minor backup on Highway 90 southbound as you approach I-10. Just a few minutes delay there. But other than that, we are good. I'm John Pickens waiting for the answers.
Thanks so much, John.
Traffic on the five.
If you've got a business, you've got employees, you've got to deal with cubicles and that. And guys with bent ties and, you know, managers who have been moved into their position of least significance. That's their safe position as being a manager. Anyway, if you have to deal with the benefits, you have to deal with health insurance, dental, vision, life, disability, HR, tools, resources, payroll, all that stuff. Don't call Dilbert. Call Torgerson Consulting. Did I almost make you spill your stuff?
Yes, you almost did.
John almost spewed. That's like the most satisfying thing, because actually having him spew is not satisfying, because then you got to, you know, clean it up. But almost. Yeah. Anyway, call Torgerson Consulting, because they help people with this all the time. They help us here at News Radio in Cat Country for 5 years. We've been using them, and they came in and gave us better options. In fact, gave us options that we didn't have before. And then, you know, they're not miracle workers. They cannot make the marketplace be what it is not. It's terrible. But in the terrible, they find the best available. And that's about the best you can really ask for somebody. And they do that. And they're great at customer service. They follow up with us. They answer our questions, especially my wife, who as an industrial engineer likes to ask hard, difficult, you know, particular questions that usually the kind of people who are available to you, the salespeople or the customer service, they don't really know. Well, I'm telling you that, you know, Reed's awesome. Okay, and we ask questions, and he has answers, and so he gets my wife's double thumbs up, which is great. I mean, that is a hard thing to get. Anyway, 433-9996 for Torgerson Consulting. No obligation to have them look over what you're doing. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com. All right, back to Scott Adams. What did I say? Two things. I thought Pascal's wager is a bad argument, and also, well, Andrew, why would you say it's a bad argument if people believe it and come to faith? Well, I don't I'll come back to the second one, which is why I don't think that this made him a Christian. Okay, I'm not saying he's not. I'm saying if you ask me to bet on his salvation status, I'm not willing to bet on that. And I'll tell you why. Pascal's wager is not a good wager, and here's why. First of all, there's lots of different potential religions. It's not just on or off. How do you calculate the likelihood that it's Christianity versus mere Judaism versus Baha'i versus Latter-day Saints versus Buddhism or Hinduism or, you know, the Flying Spaghetti Monster, although that was meant as satire. But, you know, at some point in the future, just like L. Ron Hubbard invented a thing and it became Scientology, you know, you figure that, you know, in 200 years, people are going to be Flying Spaghetti Monster worshipers. Why? Because humans are stupid. Okay? That's the universal rule. So it's not as simple as do or don't do and then you get the rewards or the not. It's which one. And they cost differently. And the shape of the cost is different. That's one issue. That's one part to look at. And does it even really work that way? You know, does it really work in the way he's that Pascal imagined. I mean, Pascal was a, you know, he was a French Catholic. He believed, he wanted to advocate for belief. I'm not sure that the kind of logical argument that he's talking about produces the sort of faith that saves you anyway within Christianity. Now, if you believe that you go to heaven because you do good things, which is not what Christianity teaches, but if you believe that, then Pascal's wager starts to sound a little bit more plausible, and what, you know, Scott Adams did may start to sound more plausible. But here's the thing. When I read to you that description of what he said, you know, I promise you I will convert. I'm now convinced the risk-reward is completely smart. If it turns out there's nothing there, I've lost nothing, but I've respected your wishes. I like doing it. If something's there and the Christian model is closest to it, then I win. Does that sound like faith to you? It doesn't sound anything like faith to me. The kind of, well, I guess that's a good bet. Here's my chips. Conclusion that Pascal's wager produces, to me, sounds nothing like the saving, living, transformative, repentance-inducing faith that you get in the Bible. I mean, when Paul gets blinded, you know, on the road to Damascus, he doesn't, like, go to the house and have the scales removed and then say, you know, I just think this Christianity thing makes sense, and here we go. You know, they're on fire. You know, when you look at the in Acts, when the Holy Spirit descends on all the disciples, everybody who's a believer at that point, you know, thousands of people get saved, and, you know, crazy things happen, and total rejuvenation of people's lives, and, you know, the kind of thing that I have seen when people are born again is radical. John, you want to back me up on this? Is this?
Yes, I'm. Yeah, you right? Definitely see the change.
Massive. It's conclusive. It's convincing. It's wild. Now, it may temper over time. It may change over time. But I'm saying that, like, at the moment that somebody embraces Jesus, it's never sort of ho-hum.
I mean, they'll have a good testimony to tell you.
It's never, well, you know, I was working with the slide rule the other day and just sort of seemed like maybe this was, it's like 48 degrees. That's more than 45 degrees on the angle. And so I think I'll just go ahead and do it. It's just never,
it's
like
not that.
Yeah. And so confessing and professing, which is, you know, kind of the element of it, you know, believe in your heart and say with your mouth. It just doesn't seem like that at all. In fact, it's so completely hollow sounding that it does sound just like Pascal's wager, this very minimal rationalist gamble. And how deep does that go when you're faced with, you know, I don't know, being strung up in torture and asked whether you believe that God is real or not, the kind of thing that the apostles actually died rather than to recant, right? That, you know, that willingness of going to some jungle and evangelizing the natives at the risk of your life does not seem to me like the kind of commitment that Scott Adams accepted. Now, I always very cautious, judging somebody's faith, judging somebody's real status as a born-again believer, whatever. You always want to, well, I don't know, you know, people who might seem like terrible reprobates, I'm not too sure. They say they're Christians. Maybe they are. You know, you always want to be cautious, okay, because you don't know. I'm just saying this doesn't sound like that. And so, though I would dearly love to believe that he had a born-again experience, if you ask me to wager, I wager against. And that's just my way of saying I'm not a fan of Pascal's wager as a concept. And I know somebody's like, well, Andrew, if it helps people believe, yeah, but sometimes it helps you believe and then you have false assurance of having something that you don't actually have. And I definitely don't want that. That's worse than the nothing. 437-1620. Feel free to weigh in, disagree, whatever.
Preach on, Andrew. Preach on, brother. I love it.
I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. Add more road to your trip with the new 2026 Subaru Crosstrek or Forester Hybrid. Our new hybrids will keep you going no matter where the road goes. With up to 597 miles per tank, the Crosstrek Hybrid easily takes you to more places. And the Forester Hybrid sports a driving range of up to 581 miles per tank. Mileage like that lets you journey farther. And combined with Subaru's legendary capability of standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, you'll be able to handle any unexpected conditions and terrain with ease. Paved roads, gravel roads, just about any road, they're all fair game in the new 2026 Subaru Hybrid. Better fuel economy, legendary reliability, you'll You'll find both in the Subaru Crosstrek Hybrid and Subaru Forester Hybrid. Love goes the extra mile at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Join Stephen Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College for Boat Smart on the Pensacola Expert Panel this Friday at 10 a.m. Key Marine sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. Have a boating question for Stephen? Then give us a call at 437-1620. It's a dream team, so join them this Friday at 10 a.m.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you 50 or older? This news is for you. The CDC recommends you get vaccinated against pneumococcal pneumonia. Even if you're healthy, your age puts you at risk. People 50 or older are over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia compared to adults 18 to 49. Just one shot can help protect you. Learn more and schedule at vaxassist.com. That's vaxassist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
All right, all right. It's a beautiful day for football here at the stadium, and we're just about ready for kickoff. Score 0-0. And suddenly, I'm in the mood for a Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar. Now that's a winning combo. Yeah. Crisp, refreshing. That hits the spot. When it comes to great taste, Coke Zero Sugar's always on the scoreboard. Coke Zero Sugar. Real Coke taste, zero sugar.
Start your mornings off informed with all things Pensacola on the Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
You're some piece of work.
I'm some piece of work.
You're also a natural character.
I've been telling her that. You know, I got natural character.
Come on, that's not what I said, kid. I said you are a natural character. You're an incredible flake.
Pump it up while your feet are stumping and the jam is pumping. Look ahead, the crowd is jumping.
Oh, yeah. All right, John, what'd you say, John? You were gonna play this at one point today, maybe almost?
Yeah, I'd actually pick out the song ahead of time, and I was like, ah, oh, man. Because everybody from the 90s,
yeah,
you know you're dancing because you were in your car going, yep.
What were you wearing when you heard that song? I won't make you ask. I won't make you say. Okay, John Pickens got traffic on the 5.
Thank
John.
You. All right, so no accidents to let you know about. If you're on Highway 29 going southbound toward 9 Mile Road, expect a 3 to 4 minute delay in that area. But other than that, I'm not seeing anything else. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the 5s.
Would it surprise you at all to know that at a certain point in my history, I may have had a mild mullet.
No.
Yeah, a little, not a full-blown, like, you know.
Oh. Business in the front and party in the back, baby.
I only ever had about an inch worth of ponytail that I could make. You know, I never, but.
Oh, my gosh. There's got to be pictures somewhere.
There are, and the answer is no. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David.
We have to see those pictures. Yes. I'm sorry.
No. I'll find them. Don't worry.
Oh, you can't. I can't. Will. Nope.
I'm good at digging things up. I'll find them. 17% of Americans back President Trump's plans to obtain Greenland for the United States. New Reuters Ipsos poll also found the majorities of both Democrats and Republicans oppose using military force to take over the territory.
How is it only a majority? It should be 100%.
You would think.
Anyway, go on.
Of course, President Trump argues that Greenland is vital to national security.
What was the line he said? But they don't have any defense, just two dog sleds?
Two dog sleds, yeah. That was.
He is the troll in chief. You got to give him credit for that. He is the troll in chief, for sure.
You know, if this president thing doesn't work out, he could have a good career in stand-up comedy.
Social media influencer.
Yeah, social media
You think
influencer,
Trump does a absolutely. Podcast after he's out of office?
Yes.
I mean, who wouldn't listen
right,
if he did?
Exactly. He's got all these followers
How
now.
How do you keep influence, you know? And he loves influence, for sure.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
Absolutely. Human rights activists say over 2,500 people have been killed by Iranian authorities in the crackdown against the massive protests sweeping the nation. The head of Iran's judiciary has said that there will be fast trials and executions for protesters that are being detained.
I was just reading, you know, the number we had thought a couple of days ago was 500. And now it's, what'd you say, 2,500?
2,500.
And like 15,000 arrests. Mm-hmm. And I was just reading an account in, I think it was in the Independent UK, where they say that what they're hearing, it's very hard to get information out because the Iranians have very tight control, you know, which that's the nature of a dictatorship. But they, doctors and hospitals are reporting an incredibly high incidence of eye and head injuries. The cops are specifically aiming to shoot people in the eyes because it's so dangerous, deadly. Even if they don't kill them, it's permanently scarred. Like, good Lord. You know, this is what's happening to our fellow human beings across the globe. So, for sure, be praying for them, and be sure, for sure, be hoping that we find a solution that leads to freedom and not this.